Today, our subject is sacrifice, a sacrificial journey. That's our focus for the coming week in our wilderness journey. And sacrifice, it's not a particularly popular thing to speak about when it comes to it. Our lives are hard enough, they're busy enough, without the extra hassle and struggle of choosing to go without something that we feel we need. Now, it might be that some of us have made a sacrifice over Lent. It's that kind of time when we do that, don't we? To not enjoy something that we usually have in our lives, if that's chocolate or beer or social media or whatever it is. And if you have been doing that, although many of us like to go the other way and choose to intentionally engage and do things that we perhaps should do more often but don't do, i.e. spending time with the Lord Jesus, finding ways to bless other people. But if you have been giving something up, has that been easy for you? Has that been difficult? How have you found it? And another question, does God actually demand that we give things up for him? Is that part of the deal? Is it right that we choose difficult or sacrificial paths in order to please him? What is this thing about sacrifice? Well, in order to kind of understand it, hopefully we won't spend too long on this because it's a really big and complicated subject, but we do need to delve back into the Old Testament and see that the kind of context of this whole thing of sacrifice, because there was a great system in the Old Testament of sacrificial offerings that were given, which were thought were what God wanted. And of course, we see in the Old Testament too, pointing towards Jesus who would fulfill those sacrifices, the Lord Jesus, so we no longer need to kill animals and burn things and so on. So in order to understand what this is all about, we need to go back a little bit into Isaiah's a good place, Isaiah 52, 53, we're going to spend a few moments there. And in Isaiah 53, he talks about what we often call the suffering servant. Now, this is hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, but we understand that what Isaiah was doing was looking forward to a time when Jesus would come as a kind of Messiah and Saviour, not the strong, powerful human leader that people might have been expecting. And certainly Jesus's contemporaries were expecting that kind of thing, but someone who would enter into human suffering in such a way that we know that God understands us and is with us. Sometimes Isaiah 53 is thought to be referring to the people of Israel themselves, and in a sense there is a way in which you can apply that. But now we normally, mostly, apply this to Jesus himself. And so the first thing we say is that Jesus, in this familiar phrase that we use around Good Friday quite a lot, Jesus was a man of sorrows. This is lifted out of Isaiah 53. Jesus, the man of sorrows. And we already saw last week how Jesus meets us in sorrow and in sadness, in different states of distress. When we're at the end of our tether, Jesus meets us. Yet in Isaiah 53, we read that Jesus does far more than just meet us in our own suffering. He provides a lot more than just a shoulder to cry on. The journey of Jesus in his human life was one of sorrow. As he travelled through the wilderness of this world, he took upon himself the sickness and the suffering. It was a journey that took him ultimately to the very epicentre of what we might call desert or wilderness experience, the cross of Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw all of that. He prophesied all of that. He said Jesus like a root in a dry ground. Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. This is a man of sorrows that we know wept at Lazarus's tomb. We reminded ourselves of that last week. Jesus wept. He wept over the fate of Jerusalem. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, says Luke chapter 19. He mourned the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist. In Matthew 14, we have the horrible story of John being beheaded. And when Jesus hears this news about his cousin, he takes himself away. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, to a desert place. He chooses to go to the desert to mourn before his heavenly Father. We can be certain that our God knows intimately the human experience of grief and pain and loss. Jesus is a man of sorrows. But he was also the sacrificial lamb. As well as knowing the experience of human grief and pain, that's who Jesus is. It's a part of who he is. He is the sacrificial lamb, the one who is sacrificed for you and for me. Isaiah foretold that the Messiah would not only know about our sorrow and know what it was to be sorrowful, but he would take the full weight of our suffering and our sin and our shame. This is what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Those words have echoes of the Day of Atonement, which is described in Leviticus chapter 16. We don't often go into these chapters, do we? From the time of Israel wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and it tells how God dealt with their sin one day each year through the death of a sacrificial lamb on the Day of Atonement. And they would also sacrifice a scapegoat. It's where we get that word from in English. The scapegoat, the priest would place his hands on the head of a goat. The idea was that all our guilt, all our suffering, all our sorrow, all our travail and pain and so on is passed onto this goat. And then they would drive the goat away and drive it out, symbolically carrying the weight of all Israel's sin into the wilderness. The goat, says Leviticus 16, will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place. It was to be cut off from the land of the living. Words that Isaiah in chapter 53 uses about Jesus. It was suffering for the sins of the people so that they didn't have to. And so echoing all of that, this is what Isaiah writes. He, Jesus, was led like a lamb to the slaughter before, like a sheep before its shearers is silent. He did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of his people. Of my people, he was punished. Listen, I know life can be tough. Whatever wilderness you are struggling with right now, or that you have struggled with, or that you ever will struggle with, Jesus has borne the pain of it on his shoulders on the cross. He has become your scapegoat and mine, carrying your sin and your struggles and your sorrows. He went out into the wilderness of judgment all alone, so that ultimately we might all be healed, restored, and made whole. John Stott once said, for the essence of sin is man and woman substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man and woman. Humans assert themselves against God, and we put ourselves where only God deserves to be. But God sacrifices himself for humanity and puts himself where only humanity deserves to be. Let's just reflect on that before we go any further. Let's hear the words of Isaiah 53 a little bit more. And there's some interjections here as well, just to understand this amazing truth, how much God loves you and me. This is Isaiah 53.
Just watch my servant blossom, exalted, tall, head and shoulders above the crowd. But he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured past recognition. Nations all over the world will be in awe, taken aback. Kings shocked into silence when they see him. For what was unheard of, they'll see with their own eyes. What was unthinkable, they'll have right before them.
Shocked. Are you ready to be shocked? God's servant, marred, disfigured, hardly human by the look of him, yet chosen to do God's will, chosen to be exalted. Shocked? Are you ready to be shocked?
Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum.
Suffering. Can you see him suffering? Despised, rejected, ugly, misshapen, devoid of anything that might remotely be considered attractive. Can you bear to look at him? Can you stomach what happened to him? Does it make any sense that God should be at work in him? Suffering. Can you see him suffering?
But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him.
Blame. Will you take the blame? That the ugliness and the pain, the bruises and the beatings were your fault and mine, and were meant most of all to take the blame away. Blame. Yes, he took the blame.
He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence.
Silence. Can you bear the silence? The innocent lamb, the shears, and the abattoir. No bleating, no protest. Silence. Can you bear the silence?
Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true.
Injustice. Do you feel the injustice? An innocent man condemned to death. A man of peace crushed by violence. An honest man entombed with liars. Injustice. Do you feel the injustice?
Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honours, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep.
Hope. Can you find the hope? Can you see how God could be in this? And that through the pain of his servant, he could bring hope to you and to me and to his servant too? That there might be light at the end of all this darkness. Victory beyond imagining from unimaginable suffering. Hope. Can you find the hope? So we understand Jesus as the man of sorrows and Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament is a great place to go to try to make sense of all of this, how the Jesus story fulfills the Old Testament in chapter 10. In Hebrews and chapter 13 as well, just before the end of the book, we read how Jesus is this sacrificial lamb and all that the Day of Atonement was pointing towards. We cannot make ourselves right with God. Only Jesus can do that and has done it. Therefore, the sacrifices that we might be called upon to make are not given that we earn God's favour in any way. It's just so that we can respond to him and say thank you. These are the sacrifices that we are called to make. After all, if Jesus has done what he has done for you and for me, how can we not respond? So what does the writer to the Hebrews say? He says this. He says in chapter 13, Jesus offered, he also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And then this bit, which is really helpful to us this morning. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The sacrifice we bring is a response to what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus. That's our worship. That's our prayer. That's what that is all about. Seeing how Jesus has been with us and not only been with us, but dealt with our sorrow and our shame and our sins, we're inspired and empowered to bring our praise and our service to him through Jesus. We can worship God with our lips in songs and prayers when we spend time with him, and we can worship God with our generosity and compassion towards other people, sharing good things. In the Old Testament, there was a morning and an evening sacrifice. The morning sacrifice was a sacrifice of praise, the evening a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We could begin and end our day in that way. Yes, we could create those habits. That's what we're trying to do through worship in the wilderness. But it's not easy. Most of us struggle with that. A lot of people would say, Jeff, it's easy for you. You spend a lot of time reading the Bible, trying to dig into there. And that's part of my job, if you like. And yeah, my difficulty is being able to separate that out so that I'm not just doing that, but I'm finding sustenance daily with Jesus and making that time. What about you? We can all find excuses as to why it's difficult to do it. Find a pattern and a way that you can engage regularly and spend more and more time. That's part of your response. That's the sacrifice of praise. And then sharing with others. That's initially in the family of Christian people, but it needs to flow out beyond that. We're just beginning to talk about a Faversham Baptist Church vision for the future in which we are better at serving our community because we love Jesus. And you want to be part of that. It's going to require that we sacrifice a little bit. We give up some of our own agendas. We give up some of our own thinking, some of our own time so that we can make this happen, that we can be what God wants and calls us to be. But we do it not just to please him or appease him. We do it as a response to say thank you. Thank you that you sacrificed yourself for me, for all of us. You know, there's that old story of the chicken and the pig. I've told it many times before. They're walking through the farmyard. They're having a conversation and they smell the cooked breakfast of the farmer. look through the window and say, isn't that wonderful what we've been able to do for the farmer? We provided the meal, the eggs and the bacon. And the pig says to the chicken, yeah, well, it's all right for you, you're involved, but for me, it's a sacrifice. I wonder whether you're prepared in your response to what Jesus has done for you to lay it all on the line and say, yes, it's going to cause some discomfort because we are all pretty self-centered and we'd all rather spend time on ourselves. But for the greater glory of God, so that people can come and know his blessing, we will together respond. I had a book when I was much younger given to me by one of my friend's fathers in the church. It was about C.T. Studd, who was a great cricketer, but he gave all that up. England cricketer, he gave it up in order to go and tell other people about Jesus. And he said this, he said many things, but he said this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. In the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas said, grant me, O Lord my God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you. And David Livingstone, the great explorer and pioneer in the African continent during the Victoria period, he said lots about sacrifice. He said this, he also prayed this, he prayed, send me anywhere, Lord, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any ties, but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. Let that be our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.